do the dirt with him.
Number five,
you
mate.
You see those red eyes come
number
out.
Number five was alive.
Number five is alive and
but he also,
ready to go.
Number five was alive, but he respected women as well. I don't see where you get them.
And we have a special crossover episode with the gentleman from another podcast I do called What A Pair Of Trousers. So,
wow. How did you get those guys, Matthew? Aren't they like sitting back in their mansions, sipping champagne and having sex with various Brazilian prostitutes at this time?
Well, two of them are. Ah. I don't know what the rest of them. That was Richard Ellis. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Matthew.
And Ben Wiggins.
Hi, Matthew. Hi, Richard.
Hello. And then finally, Stuart Buckland.
Hello, everybody. Nice to be back on the Chattering Classes podcast.
That's right. All three of you have appeared in the past season. Stuart also runs his own podcast called The Angry Chimp, which we also appear on as well. If it wasn't for the four of us, we'd never get anything done, really.
Nepotism. Well,
very nepotistic.
Well, I know that you have recording equipment. That's essentially why I keep asking you to record things for me.
That's about it.
That's the essential component.
That's the essential component, yes. Yeah. So we promise us, I'm sure we'll have technical issues. We'll talk over the top of each other. But there will be minimal cricket references. Oh, thank you for proving the point. There will be minimal cricket references. That's a challenge. Anyway, first off, I wanted to ask you, gentlemen. I was talking to another friend of the podcast, Nick, today, and we somehow got on the topic of the first R-rated movie that you saw. Because for me, the first, my first thought was Bad Taste. It was Peter Jackson's Bad Taste that my older brother would have shown me. But then I remembered, even years before that, he showed me a film adaptation of Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of Maximum Overdrive?
No.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
But see, Matt, I think you might be in a different sort of class to us because both Ben, Rich and myself are all the eldest children.
That's right, yeah.
In our families.
Mm. So I was interested.
You're the youngest, so... But you also had older brothers to show you stuff probably earlier than the rest of us got a chance to see stuff.
But yeah, very much so. That's why I was...
Weird stuff.
I was very intrigued to find out the difference in the R-rated movies I saw and compared to the R-rated movies maybe you tracked down. But
how old would you say you were when you saw this?
If I look up when Maximum Overdrive was released, I reckon I was about 6 or 7. Maybe a little older. But I was certainly... So 1986, so I must have been 8 or 9 when I saw it. And in keeping, today's episode is about movies that freaked us out when we were younger. And the storyline behind the movie is some kind of weird meteoric event. There's excess radioactivity in the atmosphere that makes trucks come alive and want to run people over. That's the.
There's a bit of a theme with him.
Yeah, that's right. It was about cars and bullies mainly. But yeah, there was a scene where a boy gets, it was like one of the teenage cars gets hit by a truck and kind of explodes on impact. And I think I was having therapy about that for years. So yeah, that's what it's about: a comet causing a radiation storm. Why trucks come to life and run people over is beyond me. But it does star a very young Emilio Estevez as well.
Well, it's got a Wheels of Terror kind of feel about it, doesn't it?
Wow. Mm. Can you please...
Bit of Wheels of Terror. Bit of Jewel.
Bit of Jewel, yeah. Can you please fill the listeners in on the plot of Wheels of Terror?
Ah, it's a scary car.
That's it. Yep.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? Isn't that?
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it has a probably 45-minute chase where people in a car and then Wheels of Terror keep chasing them. That's, I don't know if I'm exaggerating. It seemed like 45 minutes. I'd be surprised if it was
just
much
people
shorter.
Can look it up. Just look up.
It is online. Yeah.
Hopefully there's a the whole film's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
It tends to happen to extremely crappy films.
Yeah, and you can watch a car chase another car
for over 40 minutes.
Well, so that was...
Why do that when you can watch a man with another head attached to his body?
I was thinking, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I think chase around on a motorbike. If you've got the choice between two car... If you've got a choice between two 45-minute car chases, then I think it goes in order. Thing with two heads. Alvin Rides Again. And then...
See, I didn't,
Wheels of Terror.
I didn't want to mention it in case it was too obscure.
I'd like to congratulate you gentlemen on holding out for not mentioning the thing with two heads for the first 10 minutes of the podcast.
Well, my answer to everything was going to be thing with two heads, so...
Well, so how about you gentlemen, Wiggins? What was the first R-rated movie, or the first movie, I guess, where you got a sense you shouldn't be watching it?
Well, I know that the first R-rated movie that I watched was RoboCop. Ooh. And the way that I was able to get a hold of that was that my dad used to work at the Nangers, up the hill at the Nangers.
You might have... Speaking... Speaking of obscurity...
Don't push on just yet. You might have to stop and explain what that means to people.
Is that some kind of racial slur?
There is a boys' home at Mount Penang on the Central Coast. My father used to work there, and they would get films on VHS.
Really? I didn't know that.
To watch.
What did he used to do, Wiggins, exactly?
Oh, he was a teacher.
Slap him around a bit?
So he would... mainly slapping them around. And a little bit of teaching. And then teaching them to slap each other around.
And then teaching them film.
Correct. And then... So over the weekends, they would be allowed to watch film. So... They would have a couple of movies there, but I would always go in on a Friday afternoon when I would go to my dad's place for the weekend and pick out two or three movies that I would be able to take with me and watch myself. I do remember, I definitely remember watching The Toy.
And lasting 11 minutes before mentioning The Toy.
But I got to watch RoboCop. Now, obviously, I reckon I was probably maybe 11 or 12 at that stage. So it wasn't super young. Maybe I did get to see stuff before that, but that's the first one I remember being able to watch and going, oh, yes, his face is melted off. That is going to stay with me forever.
Yeah.
And it did.
That was it. The scene where the man gets covered in radioactive goo and then gets hit by a car and explodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a recurring theme in these movies.
It's radioactive
stuff, cars exploding on impact, all that sort of stuff.
I remember me and my brother and my neighbour freeze-framing that scene and working out that they probably threw soggy Weet-Bix at the windscreen in that scene.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, I didn't make it.
Do you mean soggy in quotation marks Weet-Bix?
Yes. Thank you. Let's just think about that for a minute.
This is supposed to be a classy podcast, isn't it?
This is the classy version.
Last time I listened to it.
This is the classy chattering classes.
Yeah, that's right.
This is up
way to bring it down, classes.
So do you remember that? So the thing that always got me in RoboCop was the scene at the start where, I was going to say T-1000, but that's not right, the first RoboCop
Yeah.
And they do a test, yes. And he says, put down the gun.
And it shoots everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, put the gun down, and then he puts it down, and he still, you have 5 seconds to comply, and then he just shoots him.
Yes.
I remember that really being affecting me as a young child.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, there's key words, right? Yeah. If anyone says comply...
Yeah.
Or the only thing I think of is that big fucking robot going, you have 40 seconds to comply.
Yeah, and then he's panicked. Like he said, it's rare to see a somewhat innocent person get slaughtered in a movie.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not normally the
and
case.
So early on.
Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply.
I think you'd better do what he says, Mr. Kenny.
You now have 15 seconds to comply. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply. 4, 3, 2, 1. I am now authorized to use physical force.
Yeah, I think the violence wasn't necessarily the thing that stuck with me. It was the shock of the gore at the end that got me. And also, what's his name? Who was RoboCop?
Peter Weller.
Sort of seeing his face all mashed up as well.
Yeah, he got messed up
at certain points. That sort of stuck with me and was the recurring. Close your eyes to go to sleep, and that image comes up in your face.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
We've all had that, I'm sure. Surely, but not necessarily with Peter Weller or with Radioactive Man. But that's what stuck with me about that. I didn't necessarily enjoy the movie that much, but
it does have, as Stu said, it does have amazing quotable quotes. You have 10 seconds to comply. As a teacher, I often put RoboCop's voice on and say, stay out of trouble, people. And they students look at me blankly.
I really hope you stand up the front and give them time frames, though, and say that they have 30 seconds to comply with things.
30 seconds to comply.
That would be awesome.
It's a little malfunction. Yeah. What about you? What about you, Ellis?
I was a bit confused. I couldn't figure out whether it was RoboCop or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I'm thinking it must have been Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow.
So, and that was... I tell you what, the scouting movement in Australia has a lot to answer for.
Oh, don't get me started.
It's probably given me more neuroses than anything else. Straight out of Cubs and going into Scouts, where you had a camp out just at the Scout Hall, because apparently it was supposed to go out camping bush, but it was just like foul weather, and so we just decided to do a camp out at the Scout Hall.
Too many gumboots.
And so they pulled out the TV and the VHS and a couple of the older lads, because Scouts kind of goes from 11 up to, or sorry, 10 up to 15. A couple of the older lads went and got Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the video shop and put this on. And as I say, it's not something I don't think my parents would have very, very much appreciated. And it was something that I found very confronting as a 10-year-old. And I was very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and good little Catholic boy. And then, as I say, I think the idea of... And the fact there wasn't much gore in this movie, but it was incredibly...
It's
the psychology of it. Like the idea, it was just so dirty and gritty, and it felt so real. I think that's the thing. And like, you know, they've got this disclaimer at the start, which is based on true events. And you sit there and you go, ooh, this is a real story. And so you just take that for granted when you're 10 years old, that it must be true, because everything that's ever been committed to film is based on true events. And so
plus the way it looked.
And that's what I mean.
it looks brown, and you didn't see much gore.
I think that was part of it.
Is this like real footage? Because it's not. Doesn't look like any other film.
No, it's almost like it feels like it's shot as a documentary from the point of view of the young people who get kidnapped by the family and everything like that. And it's just it's a weird film, and it's a very weird film to watch at 10 years old. And as I said, shit. Scouts Australia, you've scarred me for life. Thank you very much.
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one.
How about you, Buckland? How did Scout scar you? I mean, what movie? What was the
other movie? Well, I was forced to watch K-9, so that we can say that much. My first R-rated movie, I think it was R-rated in Australia. I'm not 100% sure. I can't admit to paying much attention to the ratings as a child, but I think it was Police Academy. I think Police Academy was an R rating in Australia. I don't know about America, but that probably would have been the first R-rated film that I saw.
That would have been aimed at you, though.
Aimed at me?
It's an R-rated film, but... Well, you know, like, it's an R-rated
aimed
film,
at me
but
specifically.
The sophistication...
made for Stuart.
They made it for you. Made for Buckland.
Oh, sweet.
Steve Guttenberg was like, we've got to make this kid a movie. God damn it.
So how old do you reckon you were?
Probably before 10. I don't know. Because it was funny. But it was funny. It could.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Couldn't be harmful if it was funny.
No. No. Michael Winslow. He sounds like a helicopter and confuses people.
That's
with
right.
It.
Steve Guttenberg in cut-off shorts. Yeah.
And he just did pranks. He just did harmless pranks. It was very funny.
Just going to start listing character names too. I don't know what Tackleberry's real name is.
David Graff.
I know.
Was it Police
Academy?
It was
made for you.
Was it Police Academy 1 where Lassard cops the BJ?
I don't know. I was trying to remember that as I was talking. It's either 1 or 2. But
yeah.
Now, see, that actually reminded me of the fact that when he passed away a couple of weeks ago,
George Gaines, let's show a bit of respect.
Punky Brewster's, Punky Brewster's Guardian.
Guardian.
Yeah. 24 minutes Punky Brewster reference. Well done. I was going to say, when George Gaines passed away, on mainstream news sites, they were like, here, the star of Police Academy... And there's a scene of him copping a BJ under a desk. It's exactly the
fantastic.
Same thing that happened when Lloyd Bridges died. They showed him hanging from the roof in Airplane, flying high, after sniffing glue with his hair all off.
In memoriam. That's fantastic.
In memoriam. Yeah.
And watch this guy cop a BJ.
That's what he's famous for. Let's watch it now, everyone, at home.
Watch.
Isn't it funny? Wow. He's having such a hard time doing his speech.
In this touching scene. Watch.
Oh, did George Gaines get a gong at the Oscars?
The Oscars. Well, I think it was
Police
too
Academy?
Soon to the
well,
event.
Just, no, because they show who died.
The in memoriam.
I'm not saying that in 2016 you should have got a belated gong for Police Academy.
And the best
Oscar.
And the best blowjob face goes to George Gaines. Posthumously goes to George Gaines. Good one, George.
I'm not suggesting that. Although I might now. It's probably
we've
a good
given
idea.
Him his props here. Well, can I ask a question to you, Buckland? At which number Police Academy did you tune out?
Miami?
It's got to be Mission to Moscow, surely. Say Mission to Moscow. I was in until... Which one's Mission to Moscow, 7 or 8?
7.
But there was...
I think that's the last one, isn't it?
There was an 8. I'm sure there was an 8. Oh, hang on.
I went and saw Miami at the movies.
Yeah.
Which was... Oh, wow. I was 5, wasn't it?
I was... Miami was 5. I was heavily invested all the way to Moscow, I reckon.
You still seem heavily invested, Buckland.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
Well, as we speak, I'm looking up whether there was a number 8. I'm sure there was.
No, I think
maybe it was a reboot. Seven,
I think I mentioned this in a podcast, but I do remember being at the movies at, I guess, 12 years old with my brother and his friend, and his brother was saying, my brother's friend was saying, no, we should go and watch Police Academy 6. And I think the other movie on was Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. And we were like, I don't think we want to see City Under Siege as much as we want to see Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
City Under Siege was 6, which makes Mission to Moscow 7?
Yeah.
But it must
be. Yeah, I think it is 7.
I'm pretty sure there was an 8. I know there was a TV series.
Oh, yes.
We've been swept there under the carpet. TV series.
Which only had Michael Winslow in it from the original cast.
I thought you meant it was only Michael Winslow playing all the characters.
He was doing all the voices.
Which is different voices.
And all their sound.
And then Tackleberry says, where do I get my guns? Wow.
Well, but going back to the original Police Academy, as seeing it as probably my first R-rated, I'm assuming it's R-rated. I think it was R-rated in Australia. If I'm wrong, you know, write in to Matthew and complain to him.
I think you might be right. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
According to IMDb, you are, so that'll do.
Well,
it's pretty wacky.
So I'm, like, the Blue Oyster Bar. As a young child, like I remember being confused. I mean, what was wrong with going to this bar? It's just, you know, people being happy together.
There's a lot of men there.
I didn't really understand.
A lot of leather. Like a great place.
I didn't.
No girls. Awesome.
Well, that's it. Yeah. No
cool
girl
hats.
Germs. No girl germs at all.
Yeah. No girl germs.
So what was wrong with that? Well, I didn't understand why it was. The characters felt a bit funny about being in there, you know.
And they all looked infinitely
music
less
always playing.
Did they only have one record in there? Is that the deal?
And they only started dancing when police officers turned up. That's all that ever happened. That was the only question.
A blue oyster bar features large in my upbringing.
Yeah. And Bobcat Goldthwait building a career.
The also the female officer with the massive knockers. she loomed large in my
29 minutes for big knockers reference from Wiggins.
Callahan. All right.
Yeah.
So fantastic, Wiggo. You.
Moving on, yes. So, the question I asked you, and I put it on the Facebook page, which was, what movie, as a kid, did you watch that freaked you out? And the one I wanted to start off with, which is usually, if you go online and type that in, any kind of search, the movie that comes up more than anything else is the movie Return to Oz. And
Wheelies.
Return to Oz came out, I think, 1985. And one of the things I read on the internet, which was perfect, exactly how it happened to me, was the year is 1985 and dinner parties everywhere are a place where you can still smoke and put out your cigarettes in ashtrays that are provided. And the children are all in the other room watching a movie that you put on, and countless childhoods were disturbed by a parent saying, hey kids, it's the sequel to The Wizard of Oz, you all love that movie, putting it on, pressing play, and then leaving scout style, leaving them to their own devices
very much
to watch Return to Oz. Have you guys seen Return to Oz?
Yes, I had a very almost that exact scenario, I think, when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And, wheelies.
You seen the original Wizard of Oz?
Yes, we had seen the... Like, I think we watched the original Wizard of Oz as a Friday night movie, probably came out, like, at a similar time when the VHS was released as Return to Oz. I think it was, like, pretty close, at least within the same month of each other, watching the two.
Yeah. Now, the Wizard of Oz
Even like, Wizard of Oz is pretty fucking creepy, yeah.
The Wizard of Oz freaked me out, especially when she's in the tornado and Miss Gulch is on the bicycle getting closer. I don't know why that's so horrifying. There's a woman on a bicycle, but she's getting closer and closer to the window.
That film has an air about it. That's all.
Yeah. It's very dark, of course. There's a fair bit of death in it, for a start, or attempted murder. Mm. But Return to Oz.
Not as much as The Wiz, though.
No. But I enjoyed The Wiz. I watched The Wiz a lot as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. I liked it. I think that was when I just would watch it because Michael Jackson was in it.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of an obsession around
Thriller.
Well, it's cool. Michael Jackson's in it. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it since and it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. May as well just have released Ease On Down the Road as a song by itself and then fucked off. I'm not worried about the movie.
Yep. Just literally just followed their own advice. Left. but Return to Oz opens with Dorothy in a mental institution because she keeps having visions about Oz and talking about it. That they put her in a mental institution to get electroshock therapy.
Oh, that's always a good idea.
That's how you start a kid's
movie. I don't
know
why they didn't throw a lobotomy in just for good measure.
Well, there's mental patients around in that style. You know, catatonic, just walking around, grueling. Mm. It's, again, a very interesting way to start in a kid's movie.
Why is she in an adult's mental asylum?
I don't know. That's right. It is an adult's mental asylum. And then she escapes in a storm with another girl who drowns in a river. Maybe.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up and she's back in Oz, and Oz is just this dystopian land with freaky men on wheelies. Are they called the Wheelers or the Wheelies?
The Wheelies, yeah.
Just skirting around, scaring people. A jack-o'-lantern head, which I believe is in the original books. But they've just designed it as freaky as possible.
I'd just like to add something here. I've just had a quick look on IMDb because I haven't seen Return to Oz. And I was having a look through the cast to see if there was anyone in there that sort of grabbed my attention, and there is. There's a gentleman named Tim Rose who plays one of the TikToks in Return to Oz.
Yes.
But he also played another famous character in a fantasy film from around that time. He played Admiral Akbar in... And the reason I know that is that is actually his headshot in the cast listing
in
of Return
IMDb
to Oz.
Pays. Yeah. Oh, God. I wonder if he's got, surgery to make himself look as much like Admiral Akbar as possible.
He is Admiral Akbar.
Wow.
It's a good thing he didn't choose TikTok.
Oh, that's...
No, Jesus. Nobody wants that. So then she meets all these people. She meets Jack Pumpkinhead, or she's going to meet Jack Pumpkinhead. And then she uses this weird powder stuff to make this animal, which they create. I don't know why this freaked me out so much. They put two lounges together with a broom and a rope, and they tie it together, and a head of a moose, and then that comes to life and flies.
Oi.
It's real. The imagery is just all messed up all the way through it. And then they finally get to what's the princess. Ozma, I think it is. And she takes off her head and puts on different heads depending on her mood.
What do you think?
I think you're very beautiful.
I should hope so. Just who might you be? What are you doing here?
I'm Dorothy Gale.
Dorothy Gale.
What's happened to the scarecrow?
Come nearer to me. Gnome King took the Scarecrow and all the emeralds back to his mountain and turned everyone else to stone. You will be rather attractive. One day. Not at all beautiful, you understand, but you have a certain prettiness. Different from my other heads. I believe I'll lock you in the tower for a few years till your head is ready. And then I'll take it.
I believe you will not!
So that's Return to...
It's a trap!
That's Return to Oz, Akbar style. So how about you, Mr. Ellis?
Random Akbars.
mine's a bit of an odd... And it was actually another dinner party movie.
Yeah.
And that was the Care Bears movie. the original Care Bears movie. And this is really strange, because I wasn't a fan of the Care Bears at all. As I say, I was probably about, seven-ish, something like
yeah.
that. And went to parents were sitting there and chatting, drinking, whatever, and they put on the Care Bears movie. And I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be lame. Holy fucking shit. This is seriously one of the most creepy, fucked up things I've ever seen.
Anyone else seen this movie?
I don't understand.
I've seen it, but it was a long time ago. It didn't have the same effect on me as it had on Ellis.
Yeah.
So, Ellis, what the hell makes this movie a Care Bears movie about lovable bears with hearts on their chests?
Well, as I say, you've got all these different bears with different things on their chests for people who aren't aware of the Care Bears. But they basically, the plot of it goes is that they live in this place called Care A Lot, and they notice a disturbance in the force type thing of caring. And it turns out that there's this young boy magician who works in like a fun fair type thing. He discovers this, and this is where it kind of gets a bit weird, and it's been done before. I think that this is J.K. Rowling might have sat around and watched this one.
Yeah.
He discovers this book, which is possessed by this evil spirit, and the spirit starts off kind of quite nice and friendly, but as the movie progresses and it starts to take more control over him, he becomes more possessed and agitated, and this creature in the book becomes more scary. It's just his face, which lives in a book, and it slowly becomes more and more disturbed, and starts off kind of bright and orange, and it slowly turns into green, ghoulish, almost scream face type thing by the end of it, and he becomes possessed by it, and then he goes around and starts chasing after these kids who are working with the Care Bears, and he basically wants to reap all of the caring and happiness out of the world.
So is that a bit of a departure from the usual Care Bear mythology?
I've got no fucking idea. I've not gone back to drink from the trough of care after watching this and being disturbed by it. There's just like, there's lots of very freaky animation, and anything set in a fun park, an abandoned fun park, is just a bit creepy as well. Yeah. And as I say, this book, which is possessing this young boy, and his... And the way that he slowly... It's almost like an addiction-type thing for him as well. There's all these little kind of subplots and stuff that come out. I haven't watched it since I was seven, so this is what I'm remembering. And, yeah, it was a disturbing movie. And the book calling out to him is something which is just very...
Yeah.
Nicholas.
I can't understand that.
Nicholas.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
But yeah, there's a couple of nice little tidbits which pop up when you YouTube it, Maddie, that I'm sure you can drop in. As I say, it was one of those things where I think it was the expectation and the reality were two very different things, and therefore it got under my skin a lot more than a lot of these other kind of movies where I think kind of similar to that Wizard of Oz, where you kind of have this expectation of it. Wow, it's going to be another rock-rollicking adventure in the Land of Oz, and no, it's really not. And you think Care Bears movie, and starts off, and it is, but the thing is, it is so bright and happy, and it's a cartoon, and, you know, the Care Bears all talk like this, and everything's so happy. And then all of a sudden, this dark, evil spirit that lives in a book tries to take over everything and suck all the happiness out of the world.
This says, there is an evil purple cloud roaming around, a giant tree monster that grabs the Care Bears and nearly eats them, and the final chase through a creepy fairground, while a distressing song called Look Out plays in the background.
Look out, Look out, he's after you. The spirit's got a hold.
Look out, look out. He's forgotten about feelings and prayers.
Look out, she's after you. It's a nightmare coming true. Look out, look out.
When love is very
dead. Look out. He's not himself. He's turning mean. He's been on a path of terrible wrath. No kid's ever seen. Friends are there to help you out because they care, and there's no doubt that if you're scared, they'll lend a hand. So you're prepared to make a stand. This power's wrong, but incredibly strong. If only we could make him understand.
The Care Bears were made the Smurf look gritty.
Yeah. I'm guessing episodes.
I don't know if you're going to make a promo for this episode, Matt, but that should be it.
And this completely undercut any of that expectation.
I'm pretty sure just so, episodes of the so TV sad. Show were featured bears saying, "Oh, he's being mean. Oh, well, we'll teach them that being a friend is better than being mean." And that's
exactly it. And like it was. Yeah.
And now there's a giant tree catching you and trying to eat your soul.
Eating you.
Yeah. And the thing in the book, and just the voices, like, it's very well done. I'm not going to deny that. But it's creepy as fuck for kids. As I say, like it was just this expectation. And it's pitched for, like, I'd say, preschoolers, like, you know, that was the target audience, because it's one of those things which is you make the toy first and then you make the movie afterwards. And so it was very much in Care Bears, like, you know, these very bright coloured toys which have, you know, there's Good Luck Bear and Heart a Lot Bear and Hug and Tug Bear. And it was, as I say, it was very disjointed. There was a huge juxtaposition between what the kind of pitch of the toy was compared to what the movie ended up being. I think that made it all the more disturbing. Wow.
Can I segue off the back of that then?
Please do. Fire it off.
Into the movie that freaked me out most as a child. Speaking of bears or bear-like creatures, my entry is Caravan of Courage.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
I was thinking about when I went to see this the other day, actually. That's really weird. Yeah.
And just an interesting bit of trivia. Given that video stores are obviously a dying industry and they're closing up all around me, and the only video store in my area closed up before I realised it was happening, I realised that the last movie I rented from it before it closed was Caravan of Courage for my children.
So it freaked you out as a child, so you're like, fuck this, I'm passing on the dynasty.
Well, no, because in the last 6 months or so, they've really got really into Star Wars. So, yeah, I thought, well, I'll get them Caravan of Courage. But the fact remains that Caravan of Courage may actually be the last movie I ever rent from a video store in my life. So
Stu, for those who are unaware, what is Caravan of Courage?
Well, Caravan of Courage is a spin-off film from the Star Wars series that follows the adventures of the Ewoks.
Now, isn't it an official spin-off?
I believe it's a George Lucas. I'm sure it's got George Lucas's thumbs up. It's called.
That was the only rating that was done on the movie. Was by George Lucas.
George Lucas gives this 3 thumbs up.
It is because it's Ewok Adventure or something, isn't it?
Pretty sure it's canon.
Yeah,
Star Wars canon. Fairly sure
it's up there with Battle of Endor.
Well, yeah. So, Ewok Adventure, Battle of Endor, and George and Caravan of Courage were actually a double feature in the in the DVD that I borrowed as the last DVD that I'll ever borrow from the video store.
So what was it that freaked you out?
Freaked me out most about it.
Yeah, because it's Ewoks and a caravan.
Just that they're little cutesy fucking creatures.
The Ewoks? Oh,
yeah.
But surely you'd seen Return of the Jedi by that time. Did they freak you out in that?
I don't know. I had a bad feeling about the Caravan of Courage because there was just, I don't know. The Ewoks were broken up in Return of the Jedi. They were spaced out a bit. Caravan of Courage was just full on Ewoks. I didn't like it.
All those push-in faces.
Yeah, all those fucking pushed-in faces and so on. Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about. Didn't it have that huge?
Those giant things. I was going to say, like, big, giant...
Scary, hairy man thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I know what you're talking about. Like a wolf man?
Yeah,
I don't know. They're fucking... They're these massive...
Big.
Kind of lumbering... Were they giants, even, like, by our standards? They weren't just, like...
Let's call them...
Wigan size.
They were giants.
They were actually giants. Yeah. Didn't they have them locked up in cages and shit?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God.
For God knows what purposes. They were the Gargamel to this man.
Now,
there was also a kid with a bowl haircut, which freaked me out a lot as well.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
So, were your kids suitably freaked out by it?
Not freaked out. I think they're fairly blasé about the whole thing, to be honest.
Suitably underwhelmed.
Yeah, underwhelmed. So, I don't know, maybe they've got more internets and more stimuli these days.
Yeah.
But I think the kid in it with the bad bowl haircut looks like eerily like a young Mark Hamill.
Yeah, and if you have a look on... Done. If you have a look at the actual... would have been the video cover, it's obvious that's how they've designed it. I actually, when I first saw it, I thought it was... Luke Skywalker, that's by design, no doubt. And then you get closer and you're like, it's just a bowl haircut.
I don't know, just as a side note, though, I grew up thinking that despite being slightly freaked out by it, thinking that the Caravan of Courage movie was good and fantastic, right? Because it had that Star Wars sheen on it. Yeah. But now, looking back at it, and understanding that, trying to view it as a standalone film, it's an absolute piece of fucking shit. But you know, but you go well. But as a child, you don't necessarily differentiate things as much as you try to as an adult. I don't know.
You just kind of
accept things easily. Go, all right, Ewoks. That's part of Star Wars. Star Wars is good.
Yeah.
Therefore, this must be good.
This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go, cool. I talk to the Ewoks. I could be there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're expecting them a lot of the time to go, hey, where's Luke Skywalker? Where's he? What's he doing now?
I'm sure he'll turn up any second.
Exactly. It's almost like the Star Wars Christmas Spectacular or whatever. It's going to drop on him.
Let's not start on that.
No, we don't have to dwell on that.
So,
in a galaxy far, far away, a brother and sister search for their missing parents.
How are we going to find them?
We will. Don't worry.
And fate leads them to the magical Ewoks.
We help you.
Now, a great adventure begins.
You hear that?
It's an action-packed motion picture featuring incredible special effects from the award-winning team of Industrial Light and Magic.
That's Mommy and Daddy.
Sometimes when you search for the impossible, an unbelievable adventure unfolds.
I wish we had furry creatures like you where I came from.
Don't miss The Ewok Adventure, now on video cassette from MGM UA Home Video.
I haven't seen that.
Was it the actual movie that disturbed you, or the fact that you liked it as a kid is what's disturbing you about this movie, Stuart?
Well, here's the thing. I liked it, but it disturbed me.
Yeah.
And it's probably the first time that I had that kind of duality about something, you know, as a child.
So it disturbed you because it was shit, and you're like, hang on a second.
No, it just
this
it just
doesn't seem right.
Not because it was shit, just because that I was a little, I don't know, frightened of it. Because
frightened
I was,
of the big scary 30-foot dude putting people in cages.
Yeah, a little, because I liked it, because I liked the atmosphere of it, if you understand that. But I was still had kind of a bit of an adrenaline rush about it.
Yes. Oh, all right, well, we're going to move on, because we're going to crack on to Wiggins Land.
Welcome to Wiggins Land.
Wiggins Land.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Now, let me just picture this, all right? You're in...
Everyone get comfy. Everyone get comfy. Settle in. Yeah. Wiggins is about to paint a picture.
Yeah.
You are a young...
dickhead.
Pausing man.
You're a young 10-year-old boy hanging out with your older cousins. The house that you're in is unfamiliar. And you are downstairs in a garage area with a television set up. All the lights are off. You've just been a part of a seance.
Oh, shit.
For the first time ever.
What?
And then...
Now, before you keep going, you know, I love you, Wiggins, but you are, especially in your younger days, were well known as a bit of a fraidy cat.
Oh, without it, I'm still a fraidy cat.
I'm still a fraidy cat.
Listen to one of the last What a Pair of Trousers episodes. There was a rat in my house.
And you ran away.
I still feel that my fraidy catness was inbuilt, because I used to get the shit scared out of me by these older relatives all the time. So they would just keep smashing it and smashing it and smashing it. And I would, I turned out to be a big fraidy cat. So after this seance, right, so we're all sitting there and they've gone, right, we're going to watch a movie. Okay.
How old are you here, sorry?
I would say probably 10, maybe 11.
You're doing seances at 10?
Jesus.
Well, they were... were, what, 14, 16 at the time. And so I got... It's sort of the same theory as Return to Oz, in that all the kids get lumped in together. Mm. And then whatever the older kids want to do, you basically get dragged along.
I think there was a bit of a period of that around that time. I remember doing one when I was about 9 or 10 and a mate's sleepover as well. So there was a bit and of a course, kicking around at that stage.
Yeah, like, I didn't know what was going on. I just thought that, you know, that whatever was happening was all, you know, ghouls and ghosts and fucking whatever. So then we sit down and they decide to put on The Invisible Man.
Now,
we watch The Invisible Man, and then everyone gets up and goes, right, well, we're going to bed. So I'm in an unfamiliar house, thrown into bed basically as soon as the movie finishes. And I remember sitting there and having this thought process go through my mind of, I need to stay awake just in case The Invisible Man shows up. But... how am I going to know if he shows up? Because he's fucking invisible. And that thought in my head was horrific. So that movie, along with the rest of the stuff, but that movie itself put a question in my head and just fucking freaked the shit out of me. And it's always been like, that's always been the movie that freaked me out. And that's why I never watched anything like... like, I've never seen any of the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I basically watched zero horror films ever, because I was a big fucking fraidy cat because of The Invisible Man.
Wow. So was this the original Invisible Man? The
original
one?
Yes, the 1930s Invisible Man.
Really?
And do you still, from time to time, when you just... sort of sitting there quietly to yourself, do you just still sit there and think about the Invisible Man and what it might be like if there was an Invisible Man me right now.
Well,
and how would you know?
Well, that's exactly right. That's the problem.
He's not, standing right behind you now. He's standing right next to you.
He's been following you.
He's actually sitting
all
on my face. Just sat on my face.
He's sticking his willy in your ear while he's sleeping.
It wasn't the movie as such. It was just the idea of it.
So
the idea of it was terrifying.
You never watched Chevy Chase's Memoirs of an Invisible Man?
We know you did.
No,
couldn't do it.
There's a Steve Guttenberg Invisible Man movie, which name escapes me.
Yep, never, couldn't do it.
No Kevin Bacon Hollow Man?
No Kevin Bacon? Yeah.
Ah, now.
Oh.
I happened to fall into Hollow Man in that I came into a... I remember watching it, but it wasn't all the way through. I walked in on someone watching Hollow Man and was like, oh, what's this? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, my God, he's invisible. And then I walked out.
All right. And just quickly for the listeners, explain how you fall into a movie.
Well, you walk into a room and someone's watching a movie and you sit down and you go, oh, what's this?
Right.
And then all of a sudden Kevin Bacon's invisible, playing with a titty, and
not even that's enough to keep you interested.
No, exactly.
That says something. That says psychological childhood trauma right there when Wiggins has to leave a room when there's breasts on the screen.
He's like, no,
I can't watch this. I'm sorry. I want it, but I can't.
Oh, I stayed and watched the titties, but then I left after that.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Oh, wow. I always wondered where your fear of the titties,
leave for the plot, right?
Leave for
the
bacon.
That's exactly right.
Can I ask a chattering classes question, topic?
Indeed.
What was the first movie that you ever went to at the cinema?
Well, this is another one because I was talking about this today because it traumatized me. I actually got to see one of the more racist films of all time. I think my grandmother took me to see The Song of the South, which has got Uncle Remus on a cotton farm. Singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Wow, I've never heard of that. What is this?
It's a Disney movie. It might be from the 30s. I'm not sure where it's from. It matches up live action with animation.
Mm.
Very crudely, I guess. And it's also got stories of Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox and Brer Bear.
Uncle Remus tells all these old tales, basically, is the...
Yeah.
Don't go down that, don't go to a place like this, don't go, keep on...
Howdy, Brer
Rabbit. Who that called my name? Oh, hello, Uncle Remus.
Appears to me that you's in a powerful bad mood to go to the party.
I ain't going to no party, because I ain't going to be here. I'm going to leave this old place.
You mean you's leaving your old briar patch?
That is.
The place where you was born and raised?
That I is.
You mean leaving for good?
That I... Ow! Now, see there? That old briar patch ain't brought me nothing but trouble. Ow! And more trouble. This where the trouble is, and this the place I belongs away from.
Don't you know you can't run away from trouble?
Well, I'm glad there ain't gonna be no trouble.
There ain't no place that far.
This was on at the cinema, and you went
and
saw it.
This was on the cinema, but I reckon I was about four. I was
pretty young.
You
were taken to see that?
I don't remember too much of the movie, but I know Timmy gets gored by a bull, and that was a horrifying scene of a bull running towards a small child, and then I'm guessing the precursor for Reservoir Dogs cutting the dude's ear off, because you didn't actually see him get hit by the bull. And so because you didn't see it...
Pans away. Yeah,
because you didn't see it, I reckon I went to bed that night just imagining him getting hit by... getting hit by a bull.
Who took you to see this?
My gran, I guess.
Were they of sound mind? What was the...
Well, it's a classic movie that's now become inappropriate. one of those.
Right. Oh.
So it was a classic Disney movie from maybe the 40s or the 50s. But over time, people went, this is racist. This is horribly racist.
It's just dawned on me that this is racist.
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
I swear I saw it on Channel 7, I think, in like as a midday movie during the school holidays once. I think when I was probably 6 or 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just kind of sit there and you go, this is... Like, you know, at the time when you're that age and the time in the mid-80s when no one really cared about that kind of stuff as much,
yeah,
it didn't really cross my mind, but it was only the fact that its absence speaks volumes, I think. Like, you know, it's just kind of been one of those ones which you don't see around at all anymore.
Yeah, it's you know, it's just set post-Civil War South as well. So it's just got... A former slave's job is picking cotton and telling stories to the and doling out wisdom to the young children. But the whole point of yeah, all I remember really from it is the kid getting hit by a bull. I'm sure the rest of the movie is beautifully uplifting.
Yep.
For a young child. But that was the first movie I saw.
We go, what's the first thing you saw at the cinemas?
Well, the first thing I remember seeing is Return of the Jedi. And I remember because my dad took me. I do believe it was a Return of the Jedi, and it might have been Empire.
You know what? I went to the
double
same
play.
Maybe went to the same screening, Wiggins.
At the Village Cinemas in Gosford.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, fuck off! That's exactly where I went as well.
That's where I went to see that.
That was my first movie as well. My dad took me for my fourth birthday. It was the first movie I've seen, and probably the only movie I've ever seen with my dad.
So we go and Rich. Buckland? That was your first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's funny. I do remember watching the scene with the Rancor through my fingers, like being scared of that.
I had a morbid fascination with Jabba the Hutt. I thought there was something kind of alluring about his lifestyle as a 4-year-old. Like,
could you wonk?
Having bitches tied up to you and people coming and feeding you stuff. We play Return of the Jedi at my mate's place up the backyard, and everyone would be like clamoring to be Han Solo or Luke, and I'd just sit on the trampoline and go, "Yeah, I'm Jabba." I used to get my mate's older sister and say, "Oh, you could be Leia," and I'd just have her tied up with a skipping rope next to me.
I can understand
dragging her towards me anytime she
tried. I can understand that.
It's a good character.
Oh, it's a great character. That's what I mean. Like, but even then, like, I had this strange kind of... He was just a really cool... It was such a cool puppet as well, because, like, you know, it was none of this CGI bullshit or anything like that. It just looked phenomenal on the screen.
Until 19... What about, or was it 98 or 99?
So what about you, Buckland? What was the first movie you saw?
The first movie I ever saw was the Transformers movie. I was taken by my nan to Sylvania. Sylvania Cinemas there, and we saw the
Animated Transformers.
Yeah. You got the touch. Bam, 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 bam. You got the power.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to have to wrap up, but I have to finish on... I'm going to go through some of the... on the Facebook page. Thank you to everyone who responded. The Labyrinth came up quite a bit. Which is cool. Mm. I've just shown that to my kids, and they like it. And and as you were saying, Buckland, I think my youngest daughter, I think, that's the first movie where she really likes it, but the goblins freak her out.
Yeah.
But she likes watching it, but the goblins scare her.
Yeah.
Did Dark Crystal get much of a spin?
Not much Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal freaked me out. See,
those fucking Skeksis, man.
Yeah, the Skeksis. But isn't there one point where he's stabbing himself in the wrist? Or stabbing someone else in the wrist? Oh, no. Messed up.
It was just a bad Muppet movie, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you think it's going to be all fun and
games. I loved it. I watched it heaps, but it was weird.
Really? No.
I'm trying to remember when I first watched The Labyrinth, and I can't remember, but I do remember having very mixed emotions about it.
Yeah.
liking some bits and dreading some other bits, you know.
Yeah, well, my daughters, the first time they watched it, they're like, "Who's that? Who's that?" And I said, "That's David Bowie. That's the Goblin King."
Yeah. Like, why has Violet he got said, such a pronounced packet?
Well, Violet said they weren't looking at that because Violet said, "Oh, I thought that was the Goblin Queen." So they were not looking at his package.
No, well, it was there to be seen, which, though.
Now, Wigo, you said Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins wasn't a fun time either.
What about Poltergeist 2.
I didn't watch Poltergeist until I watched
Ghostbusters. Yeah,
Ghostbusters.
Yep. Ghostbusters. The librarian Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, seriously.
I think that was about
the ghost. I think that was the second
movie I saw at the movies, and that librarian. That was, and then the big in the cinema. Like when you used to, I think as well, you've got to remember that when you were a kid, like you'd watch it on VHS on these crappy old tellies. And then in the cinema was like the wasn't surround sound, but massive sound and the big screen.
Yeah.
It was a big difference. And the first
20 minutes, half an hour of Ghostbusters was genuinely scary as a child.
Yeah, creepy, yeah.
And then the rest of it was kind of descended into comedy, but that was really scary as a child, that the library scene, like the hairs would stand up on my head.
Even before she turned into like the freaky girl.
Yes, absolutely.
The woman standing there reading a book and saying, "Shh."
Yeah,
and it's the music as well. That music's very effective.
Oh. Right. But Short Circuit.
Oh.
Now, the concept of a feeling robot that could feel pain and suffer affected me as a child.
Oh, really? I think I just latched onto it doing Three Stooges routines.
Oh, right. And just said, that's just regurgitating material. That's not a real feeling thing, this.
No. No, but what I ask you, like, the fact that did you feel for the robot or... Well, what I mean is at the end when they're all trying to shoot it...
Yeah. Yeah, are you saying you didn't? What kind of being are you?
Well, we're going to wrap it up with one simple question because on the Facebook page, there are all these comments about what movies. But you said Kiss freaked you out.
Yeah, they do to this day.
To this day, the band Kiss freaks you out.
I think that, and once again, I think this is almost like a pre-memory type thing, and to the point where but I'm not really sure if it's a pre-memory or an implanted memory or a mixture of both, but I've definitely got like a very strong sense of seeing Kiss come on the TV while possibly watching Countdown or something like that in very early 80s and freaking out and hiding behind the lounge and crying and going into a bit of hysterics.
Wow.
But I don't know, as I say, how much of that has been implanted from my parents telling me that I did that and how much of that I actually remember of that. But either way, I've got a difficult relationship with seeing anything to do with Kiss.
I'm going to leave it on that note because that's excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Matthew.
It's been a delight.